Welcome. It's season two. We're back after a long, long delay. Am I right, fellas?
You're right.
Yeah.
Too right.
Too long.
So much enthusiasm in the room right now. We've had so many issues you would not believe. I've got all three of my co-hosts today. As you know, I'm Peter Peghill. I'll go first to my good friend, Aidan. How you doing, mate? All right?
Hey, man. How you doing? It's good to be here.
How's life up in Liverpool?
Very good. Very good. Looking forward to the start of the season. I really believe the Colts are going to go all the way this time, and the start of year, the Colts Super Bowl.
Are you going to put money on it?
Maybe.
You're not the gambling man. He says, yeah, okay. Alright then, cool. We'll move over then to the Prince of Manchester, the man himself, the bald wonder, the bald eagle. Mr. Richard Mosmorris, how you doing, mate? You all right?
Oh, all good, mate, yeah, all good. Hard day's work, long day's golf, really, really long game.
How did you finish?
Very, very poorly. Don't ask me what my handicap is.
Your handicap is your handicap, surely.
My handicap is severely.
So, just to give a bit of backstory to this, so Mos and Greg, you guys have just come back from golf. Who won the golf?
Neither of us.
Yeah. There's three of us. Two of us was me and Greg, and neither of us won.
Oh, man, that's poor.
We did not bring it home for the Wolfpack.
We left it all out there, though.
That's all right. You tried hard,
but it was a 9-hole course, and I couldn't finish the course because I ran out of balls.
How did you not finish a 9-hole course?
I lost all the golf balls.
we nearly
didn't even start. There was so much country club bullshit at the start.
Oh, man. And finally, last but by no means least, our resident Jags fan, the sex giant himself, Gregory Lawson. How you doing, Greg? All right, mate?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. How are yourself?
I'm good. You know, I've talked to you a little bit about my back earlier, you know, while we're having intermittent problems, and, you know, some things were spread around which we won't be playing to our fan base later on, but, you know, it's all good.
Aye.
So I think we're going to go through sort of four main topics, aren't we? So we're going to go through sort of our predictions for the season.
Yeah.
Who's your dark horse? Who's going to flop big time? Who's going to win the conferences? And who's inevitably going to win the whole thing?
Yep.
Probably spend 10 minutes or so on that. I imagine we'll spend about 10 minutes then talking about our own teams.
Yep.
And then you wanted to talk about Chip Kelly, Greg?
Yeah, I think it'd be just an interesting topic. You know, he's been, kicked out of Philadelphia. But then again, they kick everyone out of Philadelphia.
Well, they run everyone out of 10.
Yeah, but there's obviously lots of bits and pieces around him. And what's he doing with the 49ers? You know, Kaepernick's playing a weird card at the moment, and Gabbert's the number one QB in San Fran, which
seems the truth is stranger than fiction.
It is.
He had a good end of the season, though. Let's be honest. I mean, credit where credit's due. I know you don't like him, Greg.
Well, obviously, his backstory with the Jaguars kind of makes his performance in San Fran look like he's, well, on a different planet.
Does,
and that's saying something when he was average.
It just seems to be getting a little bit crazy here in San Fran at the moment, but we'll pick up on that later on. We'll probably touch on the whole Kaepernick story as well, I guess.
Aye.
Well, you got it, really. It was quite funny, actually. I was at the NFL Live roadshow that they were doing.
Yeah.
I went on Friday to Leicester, and they had Neil Reynolds there and Sean Gale, Martin Johnson, of all people as well, Rugby World Cup winner, and Nick Ferguson, who used to play safety as well for a few teams, if you remember him. And some guy from Five Live, whose name I can't remember, but he was funny. And they were giving away this Colin Kaepernick bobblehead thing. Right. And Neil Mennell said, you know, if you press the back of his knee enough, he'll actually kneel down. And the room just erupted. Which I thought was very funny. Mr. Mennell's, I must say, looked very sharp, you know, had a blue suit. He'd obviously been on holiday as well, he had time. So look forward to that later on tonight on Sky Sports. Hashtag not sponsored. So we'll move on then, and we'll start with our predictions for the season. I think it's probably best to start with, let's start on a positive note. Who right off the bat do you think is going to win the whole thing? Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Oof.
Who's going to go first on this one?
Go on, Hyde. Lead the way.
be embarrassed.
that's how all great quotes start.
I really think the Indianapolis Colts are going to get to the Super Bowl, and I think they can win it because we have a big game player as our quarterback. And I just believe this is our year. We got close a few seasons back. We got buried by Patriots. But Andrew Luck had a tough season last time. You know, last time out with some injuries. But yeah, we're in a good spot now. I think it wouldn't be too surprising to see the Colts lift up the trophy.
The two most important things for the Colts surely has got to be the O-line protecting Andrew Luck, and then secondly, having the properly inflated balls.
Oh, we're 2 minutes in.
Sore subject.
Here we go. We're back.
What I'd say to that is we've never had a good O-line. But we've always had an explosive offense once it gets going. And Andrew looks on form, you can get that offense moving. But we've never had a good defense. We've never had a good O-line.
True.
And we've never really had a running game either. But
if you can add one of them elements, surely that is really going to push you guys to the next level.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of what I'm banking on, is that just one of those things will come good. And it might be the missing piece of the puzzle.
You think about it as well. They say that defense wins championships, and if you think of the last five or ten Super Bowl teams, it's been guys with good defenses.
Yeah, that's a valid argument, and you know the Colts leak a lot of points, but a lot of those points come from offensive mistakes too. You know, we turn the ball over too much. Andrew Luck gets intercepted 3 or 4 times a game. If he can just get those mistakes out, I mean, we can still put 30, 40 points up on the board in any game against anyone, in my opinion.
But that comes with a good O-line as well, in my book. You know, if he's given the time not to have to run around like a lunatic, he's going to be more accurate.
Yeah, he's got more focus on what's up the field rather than just trying to get away from someone.
He got injured by scrambling around in the backfield, didn't he? So, do you also say with a good O-line, we'll see a good running back take that pressure off and... I don't know who your running back is in the Colts this year.
Frank Gore again, isn't he?
Frank Gore.
It's still Frank Gore, yeah. He's not exactly an explosive back anymore, though, is it? He'll move the chains if you're on third down and you're less than two.
And your backup's an undrafted rookie as well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with undrafted rookies.
I can see your point. You know, Andrew looks an elite quarterback. He's probably one of the best in the top five in the league.
Yeah.
As he is at the moment. Yes, you could probably score 30 to 40 points. I'm not going to argue with those points. I just worry about the defence and the O-line.
Defence wins championships. So.
Any given Sunday.
Absolutely. This could be our season. But I don't know. Are you guys obviously going to say different teams? So it'd be interesting to see what the other viewpoints are.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to... shall I go next?
Go on.
Come on, Pag.
I'm going to plump for last season's Super Bowl runners-up. I'm going to say the Carolina Panthers.
Very wise. A lot of people are writing them off, but you can never write off a team.
No,
based on the last few years, we're pretty much... It's been back-to-back years, you know, where teams have gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think I can go one step further. I think last year, you know, we all watched the game in Milan and we may have all been very drunk at the time, but, you know, Cam Newton had a stinker. I just didn't think he was ready for it.
No, he didn't prepare for it right. He wasn't ready for the defense that he was facing either.
No, he wasn't. And it was the Broncos. He was destined in last season. Peyton Manning last year, and you know he rolls off into the sunset as a champion, and that's great. It's a great story.
Yeah.
It says the Patriots fan, that's about as much praise as he's going to get from me. but they hadn't prepared offensively for that defense. But I think this year they will. Cam's probably got to learn he can't do everything himself.
Yeah,
I think he learned that last season. You can't put the tip on your back all the way and will them to a Super Bowl. So they got great defense.
Yeah,
you know, they've got some incredible linebackers, an incredible D line. They've got great safeties. They're solid all over the D line, all over defense. I don't think they want Nick to score 30, 40 points a game. They probably need to score 2 or 3 touchdowns, and they'll be grinding the way. For me, it's the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Greggles?
Right, for me, it's actually a team that I was hoping we were going to do it last year, but for plenty of reasons they didn't, but I'm going for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that it's now their time. I really do. They've got a very good offense. They've got a good enough defense when they want to be bothered. That's the one thing with them. They seem to be very hot and cold game by game. But you look, you've got Antonio Brown, who is just, he's electric. He's absolutely
phenomenal. Would you say he's man for man and the best player in the NFL right now? Because I would say that.
I would say he most probably is. He's the best offensive player because he's he can do multiple jobs as
offensive.
A wide receiver. Yeah. Offensive. That's what I said.
You said defensive, didn't you?
Did I? Yeah, well, if he's the best defensive player, then bloody heck.
Yeah,
JJ Watt must be the best defensive player.
Fair play to him if he's the best defensive player as well.
Yeah, I just think the Steelers have got enough in them. Last year they had a few injuries, a few problems. Like, Le'Veon Bell's only missing for the first three games now. And he'll come back at just the right time. We know D'Angelo Williams can plug the gap until then. Yeah, they've got no Martavis Bryant. I think he's suspended, isn't he, this year? But you've got Marcus
season.
Wheaton, who's ready to step up. You've got Hayward Bay, ex-Colt. Sammy Coates. It might be Sammy Coates, yeah.
Sammy Coates, he's got a lot of praise this
There's a lot of praise. He's another looking like a Martavis Bryant-style player. So they've got a running game. They've got a reasonable enough O-line. He's got a decent quarterback.
It's going to be hard to go to in January.
It is.
If you've got to go there.
Yeah, yeah. They were a team last year that looked like they were destined to do quite well, and then they just fell away. They really did. Roethlisberger went down, and there was a game, if I remember, where the backup quarterback was actually the tight end.
I remember. He went down.
Michael Vick.
And they got the backup in. And if the backup went, it was Heath Miller.
Yeah, Heath Miller, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, and the backup went down for a series, didn't he? And I think Heath Miller had to play like a wing back type ball. He just handed the ball off and they just got out the series.
Yeah, my biggest worry about him is, though, because I like the tight end they picked up, Madarius Green. I rate him very highly. Played very well for the Chargers last year. A bit of a sneak pickup for me in fantasy, you know, when Antonio Gates wasn't available. But he's now out for the first few games by looks of it with some sort of ankle injury. So that ties in with Le'Veon Bell not being there. So they could be slow starters, but they could really have a good run.
I don't think they'll be the only team in the AFC to start slowly.
No.
I think quite a lot will.
That later.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really good prediction, Greg. I mean, if they can keep some of their main guys injury-free, then they can go a step further this time.
Got
a good defense.
Yeah.
What about Moz then? What are you saying?
I've got one which I'm surprised that you guys haven't picked up on.
The Cleveland Browns.
San Francisco
49ers.
The London Silly Nannies. No, but I'm really surprised that none of you have picked up on it, and possibly even more with Greg that he's not picked up on it, but the absolute clear favourite in my eyes is the Arizona Cardinals. They've got absolutely everything.
They've got everything.
Offence, everything. They've got one of the most explosive young running backs, David Johnson. They got Larry Fitzgerald, which I know he's old.
They've got
John Brown, Michael Floyd. They've got Andre Ellington as a backer, who could quite easily start on a lot of teams.
Mm.
And then they got, on the defensive side, they got Tyrone Mathieu, Patrick Peterson, Clayus Campbell.
Matthew's huge for him. He's absolutely huge.
And he was out last year. I mean, they've got absolutely everything. They've got a great O-line. I was going to say about Alex Mack, but he went to Atlanta, wasn't it? Not Arizona.
Yeah, Atlanta, yeah.
But, I mean, they've got absolutely everything there. They've got everything to make a run.
I do like him. I can't say I don't like him, but I know pre-season's irrelevant, but Carson Palmer was interception mad in pre-season this year.
That's my concern, and he's 39-40.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is he likely to go? If he goes down, they've got nothing.
I think last year was his year. I really do. He looked like it, and then when it came to it, really did, he started to struggle.
Okay.
Yeah. I still back
him. It's going to be a wide open season then, by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
Well, I think with the Cardinals, I just want to rein in on this, because they are a good regular season team, but for me, they just don't seem to do it in big games. Like, didn't they get completely destroyed last season to the Panthers?
Yeah, but, I mean, you talk about they can't do it in big games. I mean, when Green Bay played them, Green Bay absolutely stuck a dagger to them with that throw from Aaron Rodgers, and they still had the tenacity to win it. I mean, it's that takes some doing. I'm not just saying that because it is Green Bay, but I mean, if you think about that situation that they were in, where Aaron Rodgers has just thrown a 70-yard touchdown,
and then the clock's red.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have some character to be able to turn that around and back in your favour and to win the game. You've got to have some metal about you. I mean, we'd all be saying, if that was the Patriots, we'd say, Tom Brady and the Patriots have really pulled it out.
Yeah.
If that was Andrew Luck, Aiden, you'd be going absolutely mental. And I mean, Greg can't really say anything because Jacksonville will never be in that situation. But
shut up.
But you know, it takes a lot of metal to turn that around and to get it back in your favour, and that's what they did last year, you know. So they can do it in the big games.
So moving on from that, then, so we've all picked our winner. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl with that team?
Yeah, so we'll start off back around then with Ireland. He put the Colts in there. So who wins the NFC?
I'm going to say Green Bay.
Okay.
Good shout.
Green Bay Colts Super Bowl for you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent Super Bowl, to be honest.
That's a good Super Bowl. I'd watch that. I mean, that'd be a great game.
Yeah, I think I'd end up even more bold than I already am.
Yeah, you might lose some hair there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd lose all the hair on my arms or something.
What do you say, Green Bay?
I just think Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, and yeah, I know Moz is a big fan of theirs, and we like to rip on Green Bay, but I just think,
fair shout.
Okay, I had the Carolina Panthers, so winning the AFC for me, the New England Patriots.
Oh, what a surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Have you seen Tom Brady's new haircut? He's gone back to the 90s.
It isn't the New England Patriots. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whee!
God.
Yeah, it is for the reasons you said. They've got Roethlisberger, they've got a great running back. They got a decent O-line there. If the defense plays well, they'll get through. I don't think the Pats will get there just because of the Brady thing for the first month, but we'll come to that later on. I think the Pittsburgh will run up ahead of steam. I think because they've got LA for three games, but I think they'll end up with they might end up with the number one for the division as the seed. All games at home. That stadium is probably one of the worst stadiums to go in to play a playoff game in, because they can win 6-3 and or they can win 41-40.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, not the Pats, which I'd love to say. Moss.
It's a difficult one. I mean, I think the AFC is just. It's just all over the place. It could be any one of 10 teams. I really do genuinely think that.
I agree.
If I had to pick somebody, it'd either be the Steelers, even the Chiefs, I think, can go. I don't know why.
No one talks about the Chiefs
Kingdom.
So they're always there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I do like the Chiefs, you know.
Look at their running backs now. You've got a hell of a team of running backs there.
Yeah, but I hate to say it as well. And I know if Owain, my brother-in-law, does listen to this, I reckon the Bengals could be in with a shout. And Andy Dalton.
Oh, they can't win a playoff game,
They don't want playoff game winnies.
He won one last year. But I mean, I know that's his first ever playoff win, but it's a start, you know? Everyone has to start somewhere, whether that's 1 year into your career or maybe 6 or 7 years like Andy Dalton. But
yeah,
I mean, you know, they've got all the weapons. They've got a real good 1-2 punch at running back. They've got Tyler Eifert, who's just an absolute beast. They've obviously got AJ Green, who's, to me, just behind Antonio Brown as the second best receiver in the whole of the league. Better than Odell Beckham, in my opinion, but that's a debate
personal,
for another time.
Yeah, personal opinion, isn't it, that one?
I know that Aiden's shaking his head furiously right now.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't see it.
I love that even though we haven't got a camera on you, I know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, just got my head in my hands here, and I'm just like, what the hell is he saying?
Yeah, be careful, Ida. You don't want sweat on your face. Yeah, that might smudge something.
finally then, Greg.
Well, for me, it was a simple toss-up between the Panthers and the Packers. Packers, simply because they know how to win games. Saw it last year, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. They seem to just know how to get it done when it needs to be done. They fell short last year.
Yeah.
I've yet to see them. I've only followed the NFL for a few years. I've yet to see them make the Super Bowl. Lacey looks like he's actually had a diet for the summer.
Yeah, he's dropped some weight, hasn't he?
Yeah, and it's a bit promising there. Obviously, they get Jordy Nelson back. Don't expect him to be anywhere near his former self until at least week three, week four in my eyes, but... Jordy Nelson creates space for Randall Cobb. Cobb had a down year last year by his own standards, but that's because Nelson wasn't there to take some of the coverage. And then the Panthers, obviously, just based on the last few years, an explosive team, always makes it very, very close. People are writing them off, but why would you write them off with that sort of team at the moment?
That's a fair point. Mm-hmm. Let's go into Dark Horse then. So, let's just very quickly go to Dark Horse. So, okay, they might not make the Super Bowl. They're not in your Super Bowl matchup. But one team who could go really deep or could even win it outside of the two teams you picked.
Okay.
Who's your Dark Horse?
Oof. Well, I didn't think of that one, but I'm going to just throw it out there and say the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, you know what?
That was fine as well.
The Oakland Raiders, they look good.
They have picked a defense this year. You know, they've got Khalil Mack. They've obviously got Bruce Irvin across from Seattle.
Yeah.
They've added a few pieces here and there. And
they've got Carr, a quarterback.
Carr, they've got Latavius Murray running back, and they've got a very decent backup running back. I can't remember his name right now, but he's been touted to, you know, potentially take more reps off Murray. But you're looking at Mari Cooper. He should surely make another step. If you compare it to a Jag situation where you had Allen Robinson year one to year two. If Amari Cooper does the same in Oakland, you're talking...
That's going to be amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. And I think they've still got Crabtree. You can't doubt a bit of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's probably most of our shot picks, actually, isn't it? The Raiders.
Yeah, I was looking at them there in the West, and I thought, looking at that division, I think they'll win the division. I like the Broncos, but I think they've still got questions at quarterback, and they will do for a while. San Diego, Kansas City might be the only one they've come into trouble with, I think. But they could be in the playoffs, and it's playoffs. Well, all three of us picked the Oakland Raiders.
Well, I've got a different one. My dark horse is going to be the New York Giants.
Oh, that's a good pick,
I think so. They've got some big players. We know Odell Beckham. They've got Eli. And he's won it a couple of times. He knows that feeling. He knows what it takes to win a big playoff game and a big Super Bowl game.
I think their biggest surprise is you're going to have Sterling Shepard taking the Victor Cruz role opposite Odell Beckham this year. He's being touted to literally be, you know, a carbon copy of Victor Cruz when Victor Cruz is good. Not a carbon copy of Victor Cruz, as he always seems to be recently, which is kind of neither here or there.
Well, let's face it, Eli's due a big season, and he has a big season every two or three years.
Doesn't have his brother in the league now to be getting in his way.
Harrison.
Yeah,
he's going to be the best man in for a change.
I believe they've invested a lot in their defense this year.
They've spent an absolute ton. They stole a couple from the Jags, who the Jags were going for. Olivia Vernon, great pickup.
I think they could be a surprise team.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I can see it as well.
Cool. So we've got the Raiders and the Giants who are sneaking in there. So let's end this section on a slight downer. Who's going to do the Detroit Lions? Who's going to be 0-16? Who's going to have an awful year this year?
Oh, for me, it's a simple one for me. it's got to be the San Francisco 49ers.
San Francisco 49ers for me.
They are my new Cleveland Browns.
Well, you know what? You know, last year when I had the, if you want to bet your spleen, please email.
Yes, yes.
I'm gonna shut it to Cleveland Brain fans. And I think they'll have a decent year. I think RG3 will do it. I think they'll finish eight. I think they'll finish 8-8 there and thereabouts. I think the Niners are going to finish 1-15 or something like that. You know what I mean? I think they'll be dreadful. So, if there's any Niners fans listening, do you want to vent your spleen at me and I'll read it on the air? I didn't get any Cleveland fans last year because, to be honest, there aren't any.
I think I was about as close as it came to a Cleveland fan last year, wasn't I?
What was your prediction, Moz? Johnny Manziel will take the Cleveland Browns to the Super Bowl in 2-3 years. Where is he now? Back in college?
I just said Cleveland.
No, I'm for you again.
They'll get in the playoffs in another couple of years, Cleveland. He works.
Well, they won the basketball championship this year.
Mm. Yeah, very impressive. Yeah, you never know. You can think of worse people to have.
the Cleveland Browns QB last 20 years.
I've got a really, really controversial one, and I think I'm going to get a lot of hate on the emails, and I think I've still got emails going to my phone as well, so I might have to turn it on like silent for a little bit so I don't get interrupted in meetings. But Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be woeful. Absolutely woeful. I mean, Ezekiel, I'm not saying he's pants or anything, but he's an unproven rookie.
People
are like drafting him in the first round in fantasy. I mean, he's not that high at all.
No, he's coming out of college being touted like a Todd Gurley type. But he could do a Melvin Gordon, you know, what Melvin Gordon did this last year and just do bad. But you've got to think the O-line in Dallas is about the only uninjured, fully fit. The O-line is solid. It's, if you're a north-south running back, you're going to have success. But it's a matter of Dak Prescott, you know, he's unproven. Yeah. Pre-season, he's been good, but he's playing against second and third strings in pre-season.
Well, exactly. He's playing against folks who are trying to get a job.
Exactly.
You know?
And he can scramble. Yeah, he can scramble. He can throw a ball. And he has confidence. But even he admitted when he got his second game, he was nervous. Yeah, he dealt with it okay. But at the same time, he's one of them players you want to see 2 or 3 games, see what the situation is before you can actually see where he's going.
I mean, it's all fair.
We all know the record of Cowboys without Romo. I think they won like 2 games, haven't they, in the last 2 years?
They were 2-14, I think, last year.
Yeah.
So it's not unrealistic to think that they could be.
And in that division, you're talking the Eagles, you're talking the Giants,
Redskins,
and the Redskins.
Redskins.
Yeah. I can't see them making the playoffs anywhere near it.
No. I think they're going to have another very high draft pick.
Iden, who's your bomb? Who's your bomb choice then?
I don't know. Like maybe the Tennessee Titans, they're just...
That's that solid.
Yeah.
That's a solid pick.
That's so unfair.
They've got potentially great running back 1-2 there. You've got DeMarco Murray, who's phenomenal, was phenomenal 1 year, if you can do it again. But then you've got the Heisman winner behind him, Derrick Henry, who is a better running back than DeMarco Murray if you based it on college stats. You know, but
if you base it on college stats, then Derrick Henry's better than Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, true.
So they've got better than the Dallas starting running back as their second running back.
Yeah, but I have question marks about Mariota. He had 12 starts last year in the games he played, and he had 10 fumbles.
That's true. Is that Maxenberger, so it'll be fine, don't worry about it.
Yeah, the guy with the guy who just seems to bounce from team to team.
That's true.
I'm sure he played for the Colts for at least one quarter last year when they were having the quarterback carousel.
Weren't we saying at the point that we're going to start just drafting people out the pros?
Yeah. It's like row 12, seat C. Come on down.
Get yourself a head and helmet, son. Make yourself famous.
Yeah. I can imagine that happening as well.
Yeah, it's true. Let's wrap up this section then. So, do we
want to
move on to our own team that Paul kind of touched on in just quickly?
Yeah.
Conscious of time. Let's start with the Colts. Odin, they're going to go all the way, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool, great, we'll move on.
as you were.
No, I'll carry on, man, I'm joking.
it really depends on a few things. I mean, if Andrew Luck can be smarter with the ball, then we can really grind out some good results. Or not grind out, I think we can demolish teams if he can protect the ball. And I know you guys have been vocal about that in the past, and I have too. I've tried to defend him, but he just turns that ball over too much for me.
Yeah.
So if Andrew Luck learns how to protect the ball, isn't so gung-ho, if we can get our run game going, and if we get our defence working and O-line, if it sounds like the whole team needs to just work well, all at the same time for us. And, you know, we can win the Super Bowl in my eyes, but it's just we start so slow, you know, and sometimes after the first half we're 30 points in the camp and then we're flapping for a comeback, you know, and that happens so many times over the past few seasons.
Yeah, very slow starts and then pumping it in on the third quarter.
Yeah, and I just don't know if Pagano is the right man to win the Super Bowl for the Colts. You know, he's a passionate guy, but maybe he's had his day.
Yeah, you've got to think that when obviously he had the illness problems he had when he stepped away, the team really pulled together as a unit. And who was the coach then? Who's stepped in? I can't remember who it is.
He's the assistant coach, wasn't he?
Assistant coach who stepped
Bruce
in.
Arians?
Yeah, Bruce Arians, that's it. Bruce Arians, I couldn't remember his name. Bruce Arians stepped in. Yeah, he's the Cardinals head coach. Yeah, he stepped in when Pagano went away for a bit. But that team unity, if they have that, you know, if Pagano can bring that team unity back, that's more important than a lot of things.
Yeah, and obviously his injuries as well. I mean, I think I read the day that he's not training in the same way. He's limited at practice. And they're just protecting him.
It's worth protecting him before the season starts, really is.
You've got to.
He had a shoulder injury, didn't he, I read today.
Oh, has he?
He's got a shoulder injury. Yeah. That's why he was out for two games last year because of a shoulder injury. And he had limited practice. But then some people from the Indy Star were saying that there's absolutely no need to worry and that they'd seen him like throwing like 50, 60 yard bombs. It's like, well, who do you believe? Like, you know, if he's questionable, I mean, definitely tell me because he's my starting quarterback.
Well, have you heard that this year they're changing the designation of the probable and questionable? They're basically getting rid of probable. So,
because probable's always been basically they'll start.
Yeah, so it's basically they're either
Brady's always probable.
Yeah, it's basically now it's they're not playing, they're playing or they're questionable. That's, there's no more.
Yeah.
Right back, which for fantasy owners, it makes it a bit more tricky. But,
thanks,
Alfie. I think it makes it easier for the league, though, doesn't it? Because
it does.
When you get the injury sheet come out on the Monday and it says, oh, Tom Brady's probable, and you think, well, do we prepare for him or not? You know what I mean? It makes other teams practice for two or three game plans, which we all know will not come to fruition, but they have to practice them just because he's on that sheet as probable.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I think it's a good move by the league. I think it's going to be a nightmare for us as fantasy owners, but it's a good move for the league's integrity and for competitiveness. I think it'll do better. Greg, the Jags. I'm going to put it there, you know, and the Jags. If it weren't going to be Oakland, I was going to say Jacksonville.
I tell you what, there's a fair few things about Jags. Like, I've been following them only since Mike Mularkey's season, you know, so I've been following them through the worst bunch of years, performance-wise.
The thin and thinner.
That they've had in their franchise history, and they haven't even been around long. The positive notes I could take away from last year was the offence is explosive. You know, it can be explosive. Yeah, there was basic errors, but you put that down to inexperience more than anything and bad judgment. First year in Greg Olsen offense, former Raiders quarterback coach. But this year, I expect him to do much better, mainly because it's contract year for Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell. Dave Caldwell, I can see staying on as general manager no matter what. He's done a great job. But Gus Bradley, unless he gets at least an 8-8 or a 9-7 record this year, I think he's gone.
And
the expectation across the fan base is a winning record. Yeah, we've got another tough schedule this year, but it's not an excuse anymore. You're telling us the franchise is now built. You know, we've got a young defence, effectively. We have overpaid for some players like Malik Jackson, Davon House, Prince Amakamura, Toshawn Gibson from Cleveland. But we've got some pieces there. Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, who we still can't figure out where the hell we're playing him. We're trying to teach him to be Paul Posluszny's backup, but he's not very good at the middle spot because he's better at just running around either strong side or weak side.
Like, I know you can probably associate with this as well, Peg. Like, I've been following the NFL about 10 years now, and the Jags have always been the laughing stock.
Yeah,
but I think we're starting to see the end of that right now.
I disagree.
Of course you would.
It's one of those, though, that, they've been rebuilding for so long that it has to be now or never.
It's now or never, basically, under this regime, because Shahid Khan's doing all the right things off the field as an owner. He's improving the stadium. He's improving the local area out of his own back pocket. He's basically refurbing the whole of downtown and creating jobs.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're going to see Jacksonville win the Super Bowl, but what I'm saying is they're going to be a lot more of a force in that division than we've seen before.
I think the AFC South this year anyway is going to be a stronger division. Last year, let's face it, it was a laughing stock of a division. You had Houston Texans going through quarterbacks every other week, Colts without their quarterback, and questionable running game again, and wide receivers like Andre Johnson coming in not doing anything. The Titans just being all over the place.
You should have won it last year,
but we fell away. But that's just simply because we could not do anything on third and long. Single time defensively, third and long, it was a conversion last year.
And the biggest bit of pressure this year is Blake Bortles.
I think the biggest bit of pressure this year is on our defense, because we've got Todd Wash, I think it is, who got promoted to defensive coordinator internally. But you look at it and, we eventually get Dante Fowler back. He's been off for a whole year. He's a first-round draft pick. People forget about him. And in pre-season, they had to tell him to tone it down because he was just bull-rushing everyone and just going through people. Last year, we couldn't sack anyone with anyone, basically. This year, we've got a few more pieces of the puzzles. Yeah, we've got a lot of young players. But all you need, really, from us is now for Gibson to come in and get Cyprian to be able to move about a bit more, you know, as a free safety or strong safety even, because he's been having to do both roles and he's not really ironed either one out. We've got decent cornerbacks. Jalen Ramsey looks phenomenal. He's going to be a great pickup. And Amukamara, great pickup.
How about this, though?
All right, let's say you wanted to jump in there, mate,
cracker. If we look at it, right, so Jets in 2007 got to the divisional playoffs. Whilst I'm just looking on Wiki now, they got the 11-5 season. Now I remember them being a pretty decent team back in the day.
That was Tom Coughlin era, wasn't it? Just at the end.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin last year.
But then, you know, they followed that up with a 5-11 season. Then they sort of broke even for a few seasons, and then the last five seasons, and this is Greg, I'd like you to sort of answer this. 5-11, 2-14, 4-12, 3-13, 5-11.
Well, I can only
to say that this team can turn it around.
Okay, the only thing I can say is the 4 years that I followed them. You know, 5 years I can't say because I haven't followed them that long. But in the 4 years I've followed them, you've had Mike Mularkey come in, not get the support of the owner, Shahid Khan, and I'll blatantly say that now, he didn't get the support of the backroom office, and, well, it was just a joke. I've never seen a team be so bad in 1 year. Fair enough, those two massive wins against the Indianapolis Colts, and an amazing 40-40 game against the Texans, I remember, went to overtime, and we still bloody lost. typical Jags. But then you come into the Gus Bradley era. He's never been a head coach before. He's come from Seattle as a defensive coordinator. And he knows how to treat players. And he's come in as a head coach, and he's been a bit too nicey-nicey. They said at the beginning it's a three-year plan. And I was like, right, okay, that's interesting. Because they went, we're going to have to change the whole roster from top to bottom, change it over. Because there's just... And they have. And they create cap room. They've got pieces in. Last year, there were several games, like, we finished 5-11. But if we had a kicker that could kick, which we still don't, but if you think about the three games he cost us alone last year, that automatically makes you 8-8.
But I don't...
But then, it's ifs and buts. But for me, what makes... what makes me think they're going to make a step this year over the previous years is this.
But you won a lot of those games in garbage time, Greg. When teams had already and also towards the tail end of the season.
But it's a win's a win, mate. You can win a game in garbage time, but it's still a win. The other team should be still trying till the final whistle. If you're making most of your points in garbage time, yeah, fair enough. We made a lot of touchdowns in garbage time last year, and it boosted Bortles' stats and so on.
That's what I don't really like with Bortles. He gets most of his. I've seen Bortles play out of his skin, like absolutely phenomenal, but it's garbage time when there's nothing on the line. He doesn't seem to do it when. If it's say, you know, 21-20 or something, you won't see Blake Bortles make that game changing play. You'll see him throw an interception or run beyond the line of scrimmage and throw it, or
yes, fair point,
or
fair
fumble
point.
It, or
just going back to what I'm something. Saying, what makes me think that they're going to make a step this year? It's simply because there's more depth on the roster. That's basically it, and it's Gus Bradley's last chance as a head coach in the league.
I think that's where it comes from. It's not so much, it's not that starting unit. It's the pieces they can bring in during a game who could turn tides. And I think for Blake Bortles, it's a massive year for him. He was good last year. He was good, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, he did concede a lot. He did score a lot in garbage time. You know, we've had that debate.
Yeah.
But I think for me, his progression should be, what, he'd be in the league 3 years now, two or three years now.
Yeah, this would be his third year, Alan Robertson, Alan Hearn's third year as well.
Yeah, exactly, and there's progression there. They've got another year together. They're in, apart from the Colts maybe, they're in a bit of a weak division, so that part of the schedule sort of farms out. I reckon they'll split the difference with the Colts, and they should sweep the Titans.
Yeah.
And the other team, whose name I can't remember.
Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. I think they'll do them. I think the Texans were awful last year and were the worst team in playoff history to get there. You know, so you're right away, they've got 5 wins. And you look at the rest of the schedule and they're going to split the difference on the Colts. So that's 6 games gone. They've got 10 games to make 4 wins. They need to be 40% for the rest of that season. And I think that'll be enough. I think 9-7 wins the division in the AFC South this year.
It's like any Jags fan will only accept an 8-win season in my book now. Otherwise, everybody's just going to be jumping on the Gus bus, getting out of town.
I've got a little bit of a point to make, and I want Greg to listen to this and answer it. And I know I spoke to Aidan offline, and I know that Aidan thinks the same. Right, Blake Bortles is still a young quarterback. This is what you've told me, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a young quarterback. He's still learning his game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Derek Carr was in that same draft.
Yep.
Teddy Bridgewater, who led Minnesota ahead of Green Bay in that division last year, they were drafted in the same draft as Blake Bortles. Why are we saying that the Oakland Raiders, who really they on paper they've got a similar team to Jacksonville, they've got good young quarterback, good young wide receivers. What makes them a dark horse and not Jacksonville? Now my only point could be it's the quarterback. There's a lot more confidence than your Derek Carrs and Teddy Bridgewater's. I know Bridgewater's out now, but there's a lot more confidence in these young guys who were in the same draft class.
Do you know
Bortles
why?
Than Bortles.
Do you know why? Because they were picked lower down in the draft for a start. There's less expectation. You look at Bortles and what he's got around him in that team, there is no reason why he shouldn't be being talked as a decent quarterback, because you've got Alan Robinson, you've got Alan Hearns, we got Marquise Lee fit for the first time since we drafted him, and he's meant to be better than all of them, speed wise and everything else. He can run 100 metres in 11 flat.
But again, a high draft pick. Andrew Luck was number one draft pick.
Yeah.
You don't get more pressure than that. And he's made divisional championships
with a
poor team.
I know we reached for Bortles for a reason. He can take a sack. That's the main difference. The reason why we picked Bortles ahead of Carr and Bridgewater is because he can take a hit. And they knew that our O-line at the time of drafting was a load of rubbish. It still isn't much better. It's better, but it's still got some way to go. But they needed a quarterback who can take a hit. Because you look at your Blaine Gabbert came out the same class as Andrew Luck, and he was touted stat-wise and everything else-wise as a decent quarterback, but he couldn't stand up to your J.J. Watts in the division. He could not deal with it.
Carr can take a hit, though. Derek Carr can take a hit.
He can take a hit, yeah.
He's had to take hits in Oakland.
Yeah, but I think it was a toss-up between Bortles and Carr, and they went with Bortles, just because he's better at throwing on the run.
He's not particularly great at
a lot of things, but he hasn't come out the same level as Andrew Luck, he hasn't come out the same level as Aaron Rodgers and the rest, but he's not elite. He's good. He needs to make the step anyway, but
yeah,
he
needs a big season.
Yeah, he needs a big season. Less interceptions, less mistakes.
That's it, I agree. Completely.
I agree. Cool. Okay, so shall we move on then?
Yeah.
I'm just concerned that just turned into the Jacksonville Jaguars podcast.
Yes, welcome to week one of the Jacksonville Jaguars podcast.
Yeah. Just everyone's tuned out now.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Let's talk about Green Bay.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. I mean, we all know what we expect from the Packers. You know, we
NFC Championship minimum, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit more of a realist fan. You know, I'm not saying we're not title ready, but I'm not saying we are title ready. I'm saying I expect Packers to make the playoffs, but yeah. It's a bit more of an open division now that Teddy Bridgewater's gone down.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but Matt Stafford's always. He can be dangerous. It depends what year it is, you know, how he's feeling. It's a real weird one with him.
But isn't your favourite quarterback now at the Minnesota Vikings? How do you feel about that? Sam Bradford.
Man, I love Sam Bradford. He's my second favourite quarterback. Apart from Johnny Manziel, of course. But we'll make the playoffs.
I have a question for you then, Moz.
Go on.
So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, when he won the Super Bowl, you know, he's a great quarterback, and we know that, and he's won the Super Bowl, but he hasn't been able to follow it up. Is that a concern for Green Bay fans?
Not really. I mean,
because that was like what, 5 years ago, something now. So
2012,
he's a great quarterback
wasn't it?
Like that.
Yeah.
You know. He's won a Super Bowl. Maybe he can go on from here and really become the next, you know, Tom Brady.
Well,
happened?
No, I know, and I'm not going to start making excuses, but I mean, Rodgers is an absolute elite quarterback. There's no doubt in that at all. You know, so the amount of times he's literally had the team on his back. I mean, last season. He made that fail, not the fail, Mary. That was a few years ago. But the Motown miracle. I mean, that was just absolutely incredible.
Why is it he gets a nickname every time? He gets a new nickname every time he does something well.
He's that good. He's that good.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Motown miracle. Yeah. I love it. It's just
fantastic
player.
And then that throw at Arizona was just. That was the most incredible thing.
That was one of the moments of the playoffs. Watching you, yeah. What, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're all at my house because of the whole the suit fitting for the wedding. We'd all stayed to watch the playoffs. We stayed up all night, and you slumped in your chair, and the clock had gone red, and the ball went up. No reaction. Picks it out of the air, and I just thought you were going to rip the house down.
I've never been so close to actually crying.
Yeah, you were close.
I was so emotional then. I was, oh god. But I mean, that just proves how much of an absolute elite player that he is to throw it to Jeff Janis in the end zone to find him like on his back. He's on his back leg. Throwing it off balance, 70 yards
under pressure
into Jeff Janis's hands. It's like that's just not human. That's not human.
He's one of the greatest to have played the game.
But when Russell Wilson does it, you say it's lucky.
When has he thrown it 70 yards off balance?
Well, just run it instead.
No, but Russell Wilson does it.
When has he thrown it 70 yards off balance? I'd just saying.
Well, against you guys, pretty much the last play of the game, he runs circles around six players and then just airs the damn thing.
Is that the one that sort of bounced off the guy's knees into the guy's hands?
Yeah, exactly. It bounced off someone's knees into his hand side. I mean,
that happened in the Super Bowl against the Pats. It went down the line and it bounced off his knees, off his thigh, off his helmet, went round the stadium, hit everyone on the way, and fell in his lap. But it's not luck.
It is luck.
It's not luck.
If he throws that ball cleanly and it goes straight in the midst,
yeah,
fair enough. It goes all the way around the Hades and around the world and then around the universe and comes back a man in the guy's lap. Oh, look, man, you know what I mean? Didn't matter anyway, because they didn't hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, but that's a time for another time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you gotta think what you're saying. Anyway, yeah, I think Green Bay will make the playoffs. Hopefully in a wild card game, because we don't do well when we have the bye week.
True.
Nah, that's true.
We like to keep playing.
Patriots. Okay, it's going to come down to this. What are the Pats going to do without Tom Brady? It's going to come to this. We're going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo for the first 4 weeks. I think we'll split the difference. I think it'll be 2-2.
Aye. One of the games is against our Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe.
Well, that's 1-0. Greg, I think so Greg might kill me.
I think we've got the Cardinals week one at Arizona, and that's going to be awful. I'm not looking forward to watching that game on Sunday night, personally.
The only thing you can hope for in that game is a very slow Cardinals game one of the season.
Well, that might be our only hope. So I think we'll split the difference on Garoppolo. It'll be 2-2. Brady comes back, he's mad as hell, we'll go 12-0.
I would not be surprised.
That's a big thing. I'm not sure it would. I don't think you guys will go 12-0.
I think, you know, a mad Tom Brady is something to behold. Who have we got week five? I don't know. But whoever they play, they'll get torched. And then he'll torch the rest of the season. And then if he's got four games rest, whether that means that'll translate in the back end and that'll translate into a better team at the end of the season. But you know what? We've got the best head coach in football in Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
We've got the best owner in Robert Kraft. We've got the best quarterback in there, apart from maybe Rodgers, who's having a four-game rest at the start of the season because of some bullshit with the Colts. You know, and that's fair enough. It is what it is. We've done that. We've done that conversation. I think the AFC East is particularly average anyway, so it's always a good division for us to be in. The Jets are no good. The Bills are no good. The Dolphins are even worse. I think we'll win the division 11-5. Then, say Brady goes 11-1. I don't see him losing more than one game.
I don't either. I really don't.
No. The only thing for me, which I think will do it for the Steelers, I think they'll win 13 games. We'll have to go to Heinz Field in January. That's going to be horrendous to go to. Not going to be Mile High, which is good. That might be the only part where the Patriots come up. But I expect, as a Pats fan, you know, you talked about Iden's expectations and the fan base's expectations. It's sort of, you know, good playoffs, win the division, get into the playoffs. The Jags, they're looking to get into the playoffs. The Green Bay Packers are looking to get into the playoffs, win a wild card game and get to the divisional round. When you're a Pats fan, the minimum's the AFC Championship with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah. It's become a stationary kind of object.
It's like your Sir Alex Ferguson's skulls, I guess, you know. minimum. You know, these Liverpool fans think Gerrard and Benitez. I mean, they're no skulls, and but that's just me trying to have a dig at Hyde.
That's for the Premier League podcast. You know. Right, they won the Champions League, didn't they? They've won it five times. You know, let's move it along then. Let's talk about Kip Kelly. Greg, you want to talk about this in particular? We're talking a bit about the cap situation.
Yeah,
it's
one of the
fast going on down there at the moment.
It is like the 49ers last year, pre-season was kicking in and players were retiring left, right, and centre, and it seemed like a very odd franchise anyway. Nobody knew what was going on down there, and then the season started, Kaepernick started, and he was awful. I was laughing my head off as a Jags fan because we managed to trade Gamut to him for a draft pick. I couldn't care where the draft pick was. I was surprised somebody actually wanted the guy. But I think it was a 6th round draft pick I think we got him for. But yeah, it's one of those weird situations. Chip Kelly was effectively run out of Philly eventually. But his way of managing in Philly was wrong. You know, he was trying to be the boss of everything. So we discussed this last season where we were discussing, you know, these racist jibes and things coming out about him. And that's still questionable because that's still in the air. Nobody really knows. But in San Fran, what have they got? You know, and his type of offense has everybody else figured out how to play it now. Like, play against it. Because when he first was running that offense, it was an electric offense. But after about 2 years, people kind of... Yeah, second half of the season, the team dies off with Chip Kelly because they're knackered. They're playing. How many downs are they going for a game? 50?
Yeah.
60?
Yeah, it's just unreal. The system, again, you know, I was at the NFL Live thing on Friday, and they talked about the Chip Kelly situation, and what Nick Ferguson, I think it was, who made the point, the offense is just too complicated, because they go in with two players, don't they?
Yeah.
It's two players, and it's... But the O-line are taking their protection calls from the sideline.
Yeah.
Rather than in the huddle. Now, okay, I played a little bit of football, not at any real standard, but you always take your protection from the huddle.
Yeah.
You're looking towards the sideline. None of you've got microphones in or earpieces, and there's some signals going on. If you misinterpret that signal, the play goes.
Yeah, you could go left instead of right. Something as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. If you say... They interpret it slant left, and they all, you know, the play was slant right.
Yeah.
The quarterback's going to be right in the, you know, the outside backer's line of sight, and he's going to be going, this is the easiest sack I'll get all year.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's a real concern at San Fran. Yeah, you know, I think the franchise just looks broken. Kip Kelly is, I don't understand how he's a head coach. There's questions about his integrity. There's questions about his character. There's those mumblings about that he doesn't like black boys, which, if that's the truth, well, that's just disgusting, to be quite honest with you.
Yep.
He hasn't come out and defended Kaepernick.
No.
Which I just find bizarre.
It's like, I thought they were trying to trade him for a point.
Yeah.
They were. They were trying to trade him down.
Because you look at the way they bury Kaepernick in the media, which is...
Yeah.
You know, which is awful, and nobody wants to get involved in that. If the manager puts his name behind that, then the whole club's in potentially in disrepute.
Yeah, but look at what... I'll take an example from football here. I do know this one very well, the whole Suarez thing at Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, where he bit a player, and there was a whole... Kenny Dalglish said, that's my guy, I'm going to keep playing him, you know what I mean? You know, he's our player.
Yeah, support.
Why isn't, you know, granted the whole world is like, what do you do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a
your man's got to know. Your man's got to know he's got your support.
I think Dalglish made a mistake because Suarez was out of line and he was wrong and he did get punished for it. But the manager, almost by supporting him with that, has also put his own name in the fire. But it's a bit different, I think, with this. I think there's more politics in NFL. The teams are like mini governments. You know, they don't even go near a guy with domestic abuse history.
No.
Even if, you know, any sort of tarnished name, they don't go near it. It's all, I think it's political, I think it's all sponsor driven. And Kaepernick, I feel sorry for the guy, you know, he's protesting something that he believes in, and he has every right to.
I thought, you know, America's, you know, it's shining out this, you're entitled to say what you like. He's saying what he's like. He's doing it in a peaceful way.
Yeah.
You know, he's not burning a flag. He's not flipping people off. He's just quietly taking a knee, or he's just quietly sitting at the bench. His head's still bowed. He's still obviously taking that moment to reflect. I don't get why people are going, oh, it's terrible. And, you know, the whole thing with the police union saying, well, we might not come and police your games this year. Well, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's disgusting, because you're basically going to say to the Niners, we're going to shut you down there, because if there's no policing there, the league won't sanction any games there.
Yeah.
And they'll be forced to be played behind closed doors, you know, or something, you know, be something terrible like that.
And I just
don't think Chip Kelly's, he's the wrong, he's not exactly the, you know, you look at someone like a Chuck Pagano, you know, I'll use a Colts reference, or maybe even a Gus Bradley, or maybe even Coach Mike McCarthy, or a Belichick. They'd find a way to to calm that situation down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to dial it down a bit. And
I think saying nothing. Chuck Pagano would probably say, you know, this man is an American and he has a First Amendment right to vocalise his views. And that's what democracy is. That's what America, one of the pillars that America is built on.
Yeah.
But they've just buried the guy, and it's a shame.
Well, it's like I've heard in the media recently in the Kaepernick situation that some of the Seattle players are backing him. You know, they're standing by his decision. And Kaepernick, fair play to the guy. You know, he's obviously made decisions. Some people agree with it, some people don't. He's sticking by his guns. He's not changing for anyone. And he's saying that there's been a mass increase in sales of jerseys of Kaepernick, and he's donating all the proceeds. Which is a good move. You know, it's a nice move, because if he's just pocketing that money, then you are one of those where you're thinking about Kaepernick. But by donating all the proceeds that he's making from the image rights of these shirt sales, then
I agree. I mean, like you guys have said, you know, he's well within his rights, and I don't know why we're doing it, but I don't know why there's such a massive outrage. He's well within his rights to protest, and it's something that he believes in, which is fair enough. You know, so we all believe in different things, and not all of us believe in the same thing. We're all entitled to it, but I do agree with you, Ide, as well, that just because Chip Kelly's not coming out and defending him as well, I don't think that makes Chip Kelly a bad man. He may not believe entirely in what Kaepernick's saying, but I don't believe that he is a racist. I don't believe that. You wouldn't be able to take such an important and such a influential position as a head coach if you were proved to be racist. That's my view. And just because he's not come out and defended someone, it doesn't mean that he hates him or doesn't agree with what he's doing, you know.
I just don't see the Chip Kelly being racist argument. I mean, they're a very multicultural team.
Exactly. If you think, like, you know, it's as though, like, you know, a citizen does a crime, and then Obama saying, you know, no, he's an American citizen, I'm going to stand by him. No, there's some people do some things which not everybody agrees with, and it's not to say anyone's right or wrong or anything, but just because he's a player that Chip Kelly sort of manages, I don't think Chip Kelly should necessarily come out and defend his views, because then it takes it away from Kaepernick. You know, it's Kaepernick's protest. Let him do what he wants. Chip Kelly's not saying that he's going to be dropped for the rest of the season because he thinks this way at all. So I don't think Chip Kelly's in any wrong, you know, is guilty of any wrongdoing. That's my opinion.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair point.
He may agree with it. He may not. But at least he's not come out in public and said Kaepernick is wrong, because then it would be the wrong thing to do.
At the end of the day, Chip Kelly's trying to manage a team, and he's trying to prepare his team for the season. His march is on football.
Yeah.
And what Kaepernick done is actually distracting the team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they go 0-4 to start the season, because this is probably distracted the club.
Yeah.
You know, but he's got every right to do it.
Absolutely.
So
it's not saying anyone's right or wrong or anything, because we all agree that everyone should be able to view their opinions.
But on another
that's what this podcast is built on.
We all agree though that the 49ers are going to have a god awful season this year.
Unless they sign Johnny Manziel.
Yes, absolutely. I'd be surprised if they win a game in the first couple of months.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair enough. Lock and shock then. We all know the drill here. If you don't mind, lads, we kind of need to whistle through these.
Yep.
Sure.
We're up against the time here. If you want to get it on before opening, before kickoff time.
Yeah.
Someone's moving well down to the corner. Should I start off this week?
Go on, Paige.
I don't know, I normally go less. That's enough. So, my lock is Oakland at the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, okay, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I don't think the Saints will do anything this year. Personally, they've got Drew Brees, and that's really it. Awful on defense.
Yeah.
Not great in the running back position. Not a great O line. yeah, I just see Oakland Raiders dark horse start, you know, away at New Orleans Saints, and I think they'll win with relative comfort there. My shock. Ooh, no.
Don't say it, Peg. I know what's in your mind.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. Jacksonville.
Yes! Get in, my son.
Next Jacksonville at Green Bay.
I knew it was coming.
May I ask what you're smoking and can I have some?
I just think, you know, it's a new season.
You never know.
Jacksonville at home.
You never know.
They're a good ball club. I think, was it last year or the year before, they went there and got hammered.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could happen again.
It's one of those, I would say stranger things have happened, but in Jacksonville, they haven't.
It's going to be a shock, hasn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jacksonville are only on TV because they're playing Green Bay.
That's it.
True.
Elliot, do you want to go next?
Yeah, okay. This is a tough one. I'm just sort of trying to figure out what I'm going with. Probably my lock is going to be the New York Giants against Dallas.
I can see that all day long.
A good lock. And I think my shock, Jacksonville, Green Bay, that's a possibility. But I'm going to go with Arizona Cardinals against your boys. New England at Arizona. I think Arizona can pull off a victory there.
That's not really a shock at the moment, based with no Brady.
Yeah, Arizona are the favourite side.
But is it a shock without Brady, though? That's the thing.
Well, Garoppolo, from what we've seen him so far, not an awful lot, but...
Arizona are the favourite side.
Would the shock be if New England win?
A shock would definitely be a New England win in that game at the moment.
Yeah.
You're talking against the number one offence and defence, wasn't it, last year, Cardinals?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Broncos may have stolen the defence title, but...
And my tip to win the Super Bowl.
I don't think New England will win on the road there. You know what, screw it, my shock's going to be Jacksonville. Green Bay Jacksonville.
Get in, my son. I love in this podcast, guys. Loving it.
The shock of all shocks, but it's game one. Jacksonville are going to be fired up. They have this belief from somewhere, so they'll probably win the first game.
Okay.
Cool.
Right. My lock and shocks. The lock is based on just simply hating on a team. And that's going to be the LA Rams to beat the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco.
That could be a toss-up. They're both
but
bad.
Then I'm going to throw a dog a bone, if you will. Last year we did rip them a lot. But my shock is the Browns go into Philly and absolutely destroy them.
Yeah.
Fair enough, okay.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I don't know about him, but... I don't think much of him.
They reached for him, didn't they? They traded and traded up the draft.
But so did the Rams for Goff. And Goff's third choice.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah, that's true. Awful.
Yeah.
And go on, Morris. Let's see yours.
Yeah.
Let's bring it home. Let's have another Jacksonville win, please, Moss.
Funny guy.
Green Bay at Jacksonville.
And then his shock is Jacksonville against Green Bay.
Yeah. It was going to be Green Bay at Jacksonville, but I think that would be incorrect to put out there. My lock is Carolina at Denver. I just do not see how you can beat Carolina with Trevor Simeon or whatever his name is.
Well,
I can't even pronounce his name right. He can't be that great.
But if you think about last year, though, Peyton Manning was playing dreadfully.
Right, I'll put this out there. The only actual playing time that Simeon saw last year was taking the knee once. That's all he did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know much about the guy, but he's called after a monkey.
What?
How much can you trust it?
Well, you know, if you like monkeys, quite a lot.
It's Carolina Panthers are going
to
decimate the Broncos.
Put it like this. In I know we've got preseason and all this rubbish, but you compare Simeon to what Sanchez did in preseason. Sanchez ended up getting traded out of the blooming team for how bad he was. Simeon looked good. Yeah, I know it's preseason. He's playing against seconds and whatnot, but he did play against firsts and actually played quite well. He's an unproven object. We don't really know what he's going to be like. But yeah. You've just got to think, Denver, that defense is still incredible.
Anyone can be competitive in preseason. They're non-competitive games. Anyone can
be. True. They are non-competitive games.
True.
Yeah.
You know, the exhibition practice
stages. Yeah. Exactly.
Are you shocked?
My shock. I'm still gonna say, even though I think you're a dick peg, Patriots to win at the Cardinals. I reckon it could happen. I know I'm going back on myself here. I've just picked the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl, and now I'm predicting Jimmy Garoppolo to go into Arizona and win. But
Jimmy Garoppolo, what a name!
If anybody can go into Arizona, it's a guy Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's gonna cook up a calzone.
He's going to take the Papa Jones Peyton.
Get his meat pants on.
Cool. Just quickly, it's opening night. Who's your money on for tonight? Mine's on the Panthers. Hyde.
What's the spread, actually, on that? Is it 3 points?
3.5.
I think the Panthers, too, yeah. They're going to win.
Panthers, Greg?
I think the Panthers, but I don't know. The Broncos' defense, to me, are just... It depends if Cam Newton's learnt anything from the Super Bowl. If he hasn't, the Broncos will still win because of the defense.
Yeah, and I agree. I'll go with the Broncos.
Fair enough. Cool.
You guys didn't get it. I literally just said the Carolina with my lock. You guys didn't get it. I gave Greg
covering
a cheeky wink.
Covering all the fields. Covering all the fields.
Oh dear.
It's gonna be a tie. Anyway, that's everything we've got time for this week.
Maz,
I think you can get us on the Facebook and on the email as well.
Facebook and email. God, it's been such a long time since we've done this. It's Wolfpack Sports.
Yeah, NFL Wolfpack Sports podcast.
That's on iTunes as well.
Yeah, on iTunes as well, yeah.
And I think it's wolfpacksports@gmail.com.
Is it 99?
Well, wolfpacksports99@gmail.com if you want to send any emails hating on me for hating on the Dallas Cowboys.
Any
or...
memes about Chip Kelly or the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Or if you're a... Yeah, no, I was going to go a bit dark. I'll stay clear from this. This is not Moz humour time.
No. Anyway, from Aiden, it's goodbye. That's what you said, goodbye, Aiden.
Sorry, I was just eating chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah, we're back. Tune in, email us, stay in touch.
And that's mostly Aiden's last appearance for the season, based on last year's appearances.
It is only pre-season, this isn't
competitive.
Greg,
the sex giant himself.
Yes, well, I've been in contact with Johnny Manziel, he's gone back to college, cheaper beer. But yeah, it's been a good one. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed it. It's been completely cuckoo, let's say the least. People have said Jacksonville are going to win a game against Green Bay. I'll take that all day long. And if Jacksonville do win, I might be just a bit of a boisterous mood by next episode.
Might be. And from Moz, it's good night from you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. As ever, it's been a bit of a action-packed podcast, you know. None of us agree with anything that each other say, which I think that's what everyone listens for. You know, a bit of off-topic references as well and controversial discussions. So, yeah, it's been another normal episode, as normal as it gets.
Yeah, same time next week. Yeah, and from myself, Peter Payton, that is goodbye. Thank you very much for listening.